can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and today we are going to be talking about some wonderful films about the wonderful lady, Ms. Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Let me just start off by saying, do you like strong and sort of short women? I'm not trying to start a dating profile, I'm just trying to tell you about one of our wonderful, I would say, national treasures, really, at this point. And I am not the only one who views this lady as super important, because I am going to be talking about two movies, not just one, but two, and also not three, but two movies about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, because she is worth it. And also because I'm happy one of them is a documentary, which if you have listened to the podcast before, you know that I'm very fond of documentaries. So, we're definitely going to include a documentary if I can. We will also be talking about the in theaters movie, which is called On the Basis of Sex. The documentary is called RBG. And I am very excited to speak about them. I feel inspired. I feel empowered. And I really think that this is a good time to talk about these films. They came out at the right time. I feel like society is ready. And if at least not ready, definitely in need of films like this. And really, I had a good time learning about Ruth Bader Ginsburg because I didn't know much about her. I knew the pictures. I knew some of the memes. I knew that she was notorious, but I got the opportunity to learn more and kind of to see what all the hype was about. And the hype delivered. She is an amazing woman. So before I get into these films, I want to share just a few facts about the real notorious RBG, which if you didn't know, that's what they call her. That is what the internet has dubbed her. Of course, you can think this is similar to the notorious B.I.G., which is where Ruth's fun fan name came from. Of course, it is also R.B.G. because she is Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I know, easy math. So to start off with, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is 85 years old. She is a opera lover. She has two children. And also, I did not know this, she has survived fights with cancer twice. Also recently, it seems she has like fractured a few ribs. And there's also a recent cancer scare or surgery, I believe, that may have taken her out of office for a bit. And she has actually been out of the office for about, I want to say, two weeks, or maybe just a week. At least when I am recording this, I believe it has just been a week. So you might be asking, what office? Well, she is an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. And yes, 85 years old is an old age in which to hold an office of such importance. Although I do believe the oldest justice on the Supreme Court was 90. So she's got like 5 years. Also, I do want to share a quote from her, which I think is great. She had to be sort of goaded into saying a quote. And this is sort of about, I guess, like the dividing times that we are experiencing right now. And her quote is, "I think there will be a way back. I can't predict that I'll see it in my lifetime, but one of the things that Marty often said about the country, that the true symbol of the United States is not the bald eagle. It is the pendulum, and if it goes too far in one direction, it's going to swing back. Now, if you don't know who Marty is, then strap in, because we're about to talk about some fun facts about Lady Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So, to start, I want to talk about the first film, which is RBG. This is a documentary. It is streaming on Hulu, so if you have the Hulu service, you can watch it. It was originally created, I believe, for CNN. It's a great film. It's only like 98 minutes, and it's directed by Betsy West and Julie Cohen. They also produced it. So some fabulous women making the film about another fabulous woman who I feel like definitely inspired them. And of course, RBG is related to what she's been dubbed, the notorious RBG, and of course also her name. And this film is an excellent look into Ruth's life. It starts from the very beginning and goes up until when this was produced. And she had an amazing life. So it's not difficult to make a documentary about something that is already interesting. So they definitely found the right subject. Again, I feel like I can't give you too much summary about this because, like, it's about her life. So I will be sharing some points about this film that I really enjoyed and some observations. I'll just start. In the beginning, you see they talk about her childhood, and her mother died when Ruth was very young. Her mother actually passed away when Ruth was just 17. And she had a relationship that was very close to her mother, but they also spent a lot of time debating and not in like an angry way, it seems, but in a way where Ruth's mom wanted Ruth to grow up to be strong and sharp and definitely a woman who could hold her own. And you see that reflected in who Ruth Bader Ginsburg is now and the woman that she has become and just the politician that she has become, I guess I should say the justice that she has become. And then after her mother passed, she graduated high school, she went to college, and then she also enrolled in Harvard Law School. She was one of very few women in that class. I think maybe there were only like five at the time that she went. And while she was in Harvard Law School, she had a child who was like 2 years old. She also made the Harvard Law Review in her second year. And to make the Harvard Law Review, you have to be like top of your class. She worked extremely hard, especially because during this time, her husband also had cancer. So her beloved husband, Martin Ginsburg, or Marty, they had been married after college. They met an undergraduate. And just she had to keep up with her own work at law school, plus her husband's work, because he was also going to Harvard Law. So just the amount of work that she had to do, and you really see how this hardworking attitude and the circumstance shaped her into the woman that she would later become, because she really learned how to burn the midnight oil. And they do talk about this a lot in the film. On a few reviews that I read, people talked about how some points got extremely stressed and were brought up a lot by a lot of different people, and that wasn't necessarily edited. Like, for instance, the fact that she worked super, super hard and would just like only get 2 hours of sleep a night and then sleep all weekend, or just basically saying how hardworking she was. And while I agree that that is a point that keeps coming up throughout this film, I would not say that should be a negative about this movie, just because that's the truth about who she is. And I don't think that should be taken away from our view of Ruth, because she is amazing. Again, I don't know. I'm probably just going to keep saying that because I really felt that watching this film. I was so inspired. Also, to continue, in this film, you really get to see some adorable glimpses into her life. For example, you see her interacting with her granddaughter. Her granddaughter is a Harvard Law graduate, so you really get to see them interact. It's very cute. Also, you get to see some speeches by her late husband, Marty, and you hear him talk about their relationship. He was very gregarious, and I really feel like this documentary, and probably even more the next film I'll be talking about, which is On the Basis of Sex, you really see their love story, which is so prominent in both films, just because their relationship was so amazing. And she talks about that a lot, that like the greatest thing that she ever did, the greatest decision she ever made, was marrying Marty. And it's so adorable. It really is. I'll talk a little bit more about him later on. But you see her relationship with Marty. You also see her workout. She does some, like, she's pretty intense. And, like, I'm not talking about workout when she was in Harvard Law. I mean workout in current day. Like, she's 85 years old and she's doing push-ups. I don't even think I can do push-ups. I mean, I haven't tried, but I don't think I can. And I'm really impressed. Like, she has a trainer. She goes to the gym every day. Like, she is such a determined lady in her work, but then also in just other parts of her life. So very, so inspired. You also see her ability to really reach across the aisle and become friends with not just liberals. She's considered a more liberal justice, but also with conservatives, like her associate, like her friendship with the late Justice Antonin Scalia. And really, they disagreed a lot on political philosophy and really so many different points. But despite that, they still grew to be great friends and have a great, like, platonic relationship and just a friendship that lasted up until Scalia passed away. As I mentioned, you see her relationship with Marty. Just to focus a little bit on this, and it does come up again in On the Basis of Sex, but she really had this great love story with Marty. Marty was a great tax lawyer himself. He campaigned tirelessly for his wife. Like, you know, when she was going to school in the 50s and when she was working in the 60s, he really was a pioneer because he loved Ruth so much and saw so much of her potential that this documentary reveals so much of the ways that he helped her and pushed her to become the best version of herself and the version that he knew she could become. And just to see his faith in her just strengthen her and through all that she did. Not that she couldn't do any of these things without him, but just that with him, I feel like it amplified her success and it pushed her onto things that perhaps she wouldn't have. For example, Marty campaigned tirelessly to get her name on the list of candidates for Bill Clinton when Clinton was drawing up his first year in office, like to fill up vacancies in the Supreme Court bench, because Bill Clinton is the president that nominated her. And according to Bill Clinton, he remembers just like how amused he was when he interviewed Ruth. And basically, she just like, upon the interview, immediately at the interview, he's like, this is it. She's going in. And just to see that she could be charming in that way. But I feel like really that was because Marty got her name on the list, not because she didn't deserve to be there, but because she wasn't going to toot her own horn. And so he did it for her. And he was also just extremely gregarious. So you really see how that helped. And she was much more reserved, which is just really interesting to see in their relationship, because not only was she friends with people who are on other political sides, but she also had a great relationship with someone whose personality in some ways in maybe sociability were also different. So that was really sweet to see their relationship. Also, he's so much taller than her, but she is so small. So it is adorable. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back and keep talking about some more Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Want to know the latest and hottest music hitting the airwaves? Don't be left out. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Music Podcast. Keith keeps you on the loop with everything you need to know from pop, rock, hip-hop, and the top 40. And we'll throw in news of your favorite artists, concert and tour dates, and so much more. Listen no further, because this is the Gold Standard in Music Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast. We are continuing to talk about the wonderful Ruth Bader Ginsburg, both in the documentary RBG and also in the in-theaters movie On the Basis of Sex. We are continuing to talk about RBG as we did before the break. And I just want to mention there are so many insights about her life that you see. And some of them were adorable. But then, and so, you know, like her love story with Marty, her husband, and also just like her relationship with her family and things like that. But you also get to see some really funny parts about her life. For instance, Ruth was a very serious person, and you can see that, I mean, up until who she is now, but also throughout her life, and just how serious she was about getting work done. And she didn't laugh a whole lot. But her daughter, Jane, actually said that they used to keep a journal, and it was called Mommy Laughed. And they would list the rare moments that her and her brother James caught their mother laughing, which she admits was, the book was not very full. So you get to see like adorable moments and funny moments like that. And I mean, impressive moments like seeing her do a plank and push-ups, which is amazing. But I just enjoyed all these little tidbits. We also, again, they mentioned many times about how much she worked, and she would work late into the night. And really, I saw like she was such a workaholic, and it made me realize how I am definitely not a workaholic, but it did inspire me a bit to do better in my work ethic. And also, you just see how her way as a lawyer, before she joined the Supreme Court, how she would fight for women, fight for equality, and her way of doing that in a time when there were so many protests. And, you know, I feel like have come quite a way as women, and I guess I could say we have more rights, but also just at the time when she started as a lawyer, she had to fight so much, not just against gender discrimination, but also to show people that gender discrimination was a real thing. She worked as an ACLU lawyer, and she was almost kind and instructive, but never ceasing in fighting for this issue, in fighting for equality. And in speaking to a lot of male judges when acting as a lawyer, many of the ways that she would talk to them, she treated them as sensible people who would agree with her side once they knew the facts. She never demonized the male judges, at least not that I saw in this film. And she's quoted as saying she felt like a kindergarten teacher to explain this issue to men who really weren't aware of it. And she said that she didn't believe that they hated women. They just didn't think about women, and that was something she could change. And that really formed the basis of much of her career and how she wanted to change law. And just you see that at this time, you know, of course, with so much protest, many people say protesting was not Ruth's style. That wasn't how she wanted to make her point known. And so she goes to the law and she wants to change, you know, the judges' minds, but she also wants to change law so that as the minds of the country changes, you know, the laws will be ready, and that the laws can follow the changes of the country and not just stay behind, and not just be outdated in a way to fit where America was going. Some of my ending takeaways from this film, I really enjoyed particularly this one opening part. There are many voices in the beginning that you hear. They're talking about Ruth, and they're saying like, oh, she's wicked and she's a witch and et cetera. And that was really intriguing. And I didn't really know who was saying these sentiments, but I never really got to find out, because sentiments like this don't appear later in the film, except sort of when you see President Donald Trump talking about Ruth. But other than that, everyone, even conservatives, everyone had nice things to say about Ruth. So you really didn't get a lot of dissenting opinions about her. Like, you know that Ruth is a dissenter in the court. She will often disagree with rulings that the court has, but you never see anyone else really dissent against her. At least not as much as you think might happen when the setup of the film is all these people talking badly about her. At least from what I observed, that's really the only time you hear that. You hear dissenting opinions only at the beginning, and you never really get the names of who's saying that unless you just recognize voices. But yeah, they really didn't show a lot of dissenting opinions about who she is. Also, I would say I left with some questions unanswered. For example, why did Ruth feel such determination to succeed in law and to become a lawyer, as opposed to other, you know, work fields? I mean, being a lawyer was a very male-dominated field, but you don't really see why maybe she didn't join another male-dominated field, you know, or, you know, like business or something, or wanted to become a CEO. Especially because she's such like a workaholic. And again, that's just stressed a lot in the film. If you think I'm talking about it a lot in this podcast, you should watch this movie. there are some things they continually bring up, like how she's a workaholic. But also, given that she's a workaholic, there were probably sacrifices that she had to make in her life to achieve what she did. And you don't really see her talk about if she regretted anything related to that. It kind of just seems like everything is like hunky-dory, like between her and her kids. And like, it seems like obviously she was gone a lot to do the important work that she had to do. And you don't really see her kids talk about that all that much. It's not really negative, especially because they're saying she would only sleep like 2 hours a night and then sleep the whole weekend to make up for it. So you don't really hear them talk about how that could have been a drawback of her important work. Granted, I can assume maybe the answers to these questions, and maybe that's too personal for the family. But also maybe the questions were asked by the filmmakers, and maybe Mrs. Ginsburg just didn't want to answer them. Or maybe other people didn't want to answer them. You know, they only wanted to remember Ruth as the amazing figure that she is. Maybe not necessarily the, workaholic mother. But those were some questions I had. I wouldn't say that's a major critique, but it is something that I thought about. If you like documentaries, you will really like this film. If you have heard a lot about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the notorious RBG, seen all the memes and the tattoos, or the SNL skit, which is hilarious, perhaps you would like this film. I would say more than perhaps. I think you will like this film, and I also think that everyone should watch it. I think that we should all learn about Mrs. Ginsburg because she is amazing. So that brings us on to our next film, which is On the Basis of Sex, and this is an in-theater film. It's out right now. It is directed by Mimi Leder, writer Daniel Stiebelman. Also, Daniel is Ruth's nephew, so she did have some insight onto the screenplay. Apparently, she saw it in multiple renditions, but after, the third edition, she didn't want to review it anymore, and other people of her family came in to review it for her. I believe her daughter Jane did as well, so that's really sweet, and you know that there is the insight that was provided by the family, so that is really good to know. So I enjoyed learning about that, and good for Daniel. Way to like write a great piece of work about his aunt. Stars of this film are Felicity Jones as Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Armie Hammer as Marty Ginsburg, Justin Theroux as Mel Wolf. Sam Watterson plays Irwin Griswold, who is the Harvard dean. Also, Kathy Bates plays Dorothy Kenyon. And the acting in this film is very good. I enjoyed all of it. Felicity Jones does a great sort of like Brooklyn, New York accent. I was very impressed. Armie Hammer is so tall. I believe Ruth was quoted saying that Marty wasn't as tall as Armie Hammer because he looks gigantic, especially next to Felicity Jones. Although Ruth is very short. I believe she's shorter than Felicity Jones, but still so tall. Also, he just looks like a slick, like 1950s, like heartthrob, which I don't know if they were going for. And there weren't any super clear pictures of Marty Ginsburg in the documentary. So, I mean, they were both good looking people back in the 50s when they were very young. So I guess I just kept being struck by how big Armie Hammer's presence was, especially for a character who is very gentle and a very doting father. So that was interesting, slightly distracting to me. But anyway, enough about the cast. This film is about Ruth Bader Ginsburg as she is a struggling attorney and new mother. She faces adversity and numerous obstacles in her fight for women's equal rights. She takes on a groundbreaking tax case with her husband, and she knows that it could change the direction of her career and the way that the courts view gender discrimination as she takes on this case. It follows her right as she starts Harvard Law School up until this one specific tax case that they have. The documentary RBG focuses on Ruth's whole life, whereas this film focuses on a specific case and what led up to that case. I feel like that was a very smart decision. She has a long life. She's 85 years old. And I just feel like to focus on her whole life would have been too much for this film. You would have had to condense way too much to fit into 2 hours or whatever. And I think that would have resulted in it being poorly executed. So I am very glad that they focused just on this part of her life. I also didn't know, because as I had mentioned, Felicity Jones's accent is very good. I did not know that. I guess Ruth had more of the Brooklyn, New York accent, because now when I hear her speak, I don't really hear it. But apparently as she got older, either it just naturally changed or she changed it to fit better in with some of the other Supreme Court judges and justices, and just to not appear, I guess, I mean, I could assume maybe not to stick out as much with her accent, but that was very interesting to hear. That was something I didn't know about Ruth. Also, this case they specifically talk about is a case that went to the U.S. Court of Appeals in 1971. So it is interesting. You definitely get some insight into the law, which I feel like all Americans, it's important to know. So we're going to take another break, and then we're going to continue talking about this wonderful film, On the Basis of Sex.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast. We are continuing to talk about the wonderful Mrs. Ruth Bader Ginsburg. We are speaking specifically about the in-theater film On the Basis of Sex. And before the break, I mentioned the case specifically that this movie focuses on, that Ruth and Marty are fighting in court, in the Court of Appeals in 1971. Also, this story, like the documentary, you see a lot into the love story between Ruth and Marty, and it is really adorable. I can't get over how supportive Marty is, and I feel like you could really make the argument that Marty was a feminist and an ally to women really before anyone knew that that could be a thing. And I don't even think he thought about it that way. He just thought about how much he loved his wife and how much he believed in her. And especially seeing the documentary before I saw this film, which I don't know if there's a better way to see them. I mean, the documentary has already been out for a little while, so, you know, you might have already seen it. But it is interesting just to see, like, when he first met Ruth, when Marty first met Ruth, you know, he thought that she was cute, but one of the other things that really stood out to him was her brain and how smart she was. And so you really see from the beginning that he loves her, not just for how she looks, not just for, you know, their children that they share, but also for her abilities and her smarts. So that's really amazing to see. And to see not just that he thinks that, because I think many husbands think that, but how he then translates that to, okay, I know that she's smart and I love her for that, and I'm going to make sure that everyone else knows how smart she is. And he really takes it that extra level besides just acknowledging, yes, my wife is smart. He says, and everyone's going to know how smart she is. I'm going to make sure of it, and I'm going to make sure she can strive and do whatever she wants. So that is really adorable to see. Also, a point that I mentioned in the documentary, I felt like there wasn't a lot of dissenting opinion of Ruth shown in the documentary, but this movie does show a little bit more controversy surrounding her. You see a little bit more of like weakness, nervousness, and she stammers in front of the court. I feel like RBG made Ruth seem sort of invincible. Granted, I did see a quote from Ruth that according to her, she said she did not stumble at the onset of this case. Apparently, she would not have done that and that she did not, which, I mean, does not surprise me. After seeing the documentary, I was like, yeah, no, she definitely didn't do that. But the film being fictitious, it showed a little bit more weakness on her part. So that was interesting. It also showed her being extremely outspoken, and she kind of like stepped on a lot of toes in this film. And, you know, like not necessarily in a subtle way. Like there's a scene in her classroom where she stands up and sort of like shushes another classmate. She basically shushes another classmate so that she can talk and share her opinion, which she knows is right. And I did not get the sense from the documentary that she would have done that. I feel like she definitely would have shown, you know, and really spoken out when called upon in class. So I am a bit surprised that that took place in this film. And also, she's kind of like sassy in this film a bit, which again, I don't know if I picture that from the documentary. I don't really know her personally, obviously. But I did feel like this film glamorized her a bit, made her a little more punchy and sort of enjoyable to watch. Because to be honest, from the documentary, I felt like Ruth is maybe a little bit dull, like dare I say it. She's quiet and she's reserved, not in a way that you assume she's dumb or that she doesn't know, but when she speaks, it is calculated and she knows exactly what she's going to say. So I was a little surprised she seemed a little bit more, I wouldn't say impulsive, but just a little more sassy in this film. And it made me think about the film First Man, because in the film First Man, Neil Armstrong is not portrayed as a fun guy. We don't really feel drawn to him. And in my opinion, that's what makes the film, because the movie felt very true to who Neil was. And it didn't like need to make him more entertaining or more Hollywood. You know, it felt real to me of the portrayal of Neil. Whereas I felt like this film did not feel extremely real to Ruth. I felt like, as I said, she was a little Hollywood, you know, she was Hollywood, she was glamorized. So I don't know how I felt about that. Again, I don't know her in person, so I'm not sure how true this is or what she was like when she was in her, you know, 20s or 30s. I don't know. But I did feel that a little bit. Also, it is to note that this film is like a story. It is a bit imaginative. So, you know, it's probably not fair for me to argue on this point, because it's not completely about her as a real, like completely, it's not completely realistic. It's not the documentary. But that did bother me a bit, because I think they could have made it a bit more interesting if they had portrayed her as this different character. Again, like how I felt First Man portrayed Neil. It was interesting because he's not a character that we're drawn to necessarily, but it's still about him. And I felt like they could have maybe gone that route with Ruth, made her as someone who is reserved, but that could have made the story more interesting, but they chose not to, and that's okay. They went in a different direction. Also, my final takeaway thoughts. How does Ruth Bader Ginsburg's feminism, how does her feminism compare to today's? She plays the long game. Ruth really does, because she's 85 years old and she's an icon now, but she wasn't for most of her life. Everyone knew that she was smart and she was on the Supreme Court, but she has gotten this new internet popularity. She's in the memes, you know, she's on tattoos. She has a coloring book about her and her own book about her. She's very much in pop culture, but her feminism was the long game. She, in her own words, you know, she talked about educating the judges, making them see her side slowly and quietly in a way. And I don't know if we want that right now. When she was a lawyer, a young lawyer teaching in the 60s and 70s, there were lots of protests and lots of feminists speaking out. But now that we're in that again, we're speaking out again, do we want to wait longer again? I don't know. I think it's interesting. Ruth waited for men to come to her side, and I don't know if women now want to wait for men to understand. I feel like, in a way, we're very fed up, although honestly, as we have been for quite a long time. And she's not attention-seeking. Ruth isn't attention-seeking. She's not a woman who, you know, posts online or goes to Instagram or goes to protests. She's much more about changing the law than going out into the streets with a picket sign. So I think it's interesting. We have a lot of women right now who are, you know, on the picket line, who are making big statements online, who are more brazen, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who was also working in law and is very brazen about this. But I do feel like we need both women. We need the Ruth Bader Ginsburgs, who are doggedly going after rights, maybe quieter, though. You know, they're not on the streets, but they're working really hard. Not to say that anyone who's also going on Instagram and whatnot posting about feminism isn't working hard, but I am interested to see the comparison between Ruth's feminism and today's feminism. Even though, again, through all the times, through her times, 60s and 70s, there were protests, and she just kept going in her own way to achieve rights for women in a way that wasn't on the streets. So I'm interested to hear how other women and other feminists view Ruth's work and how that would, how that plays out today. So I do feel very inspired. I highly suggest both of these films, and I hope that everyone can learn more about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, because she is a wonderful and very inspiring woman. That brings us to the end of the podcast. Thank you all so much for listening. I hope you tune in to our next episode.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.